Good afternoon. I'd like to call the first meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs to order. Today is Thursday, January 25th, 2018. Welcome everyone here today, committee members. For the record, it is 3:35 p.m. on January 25, 2018. We are in the Belts Committee Room of the Tom Stewart Building, and we do have a quorum to do business. And Senator Gardner, welcome. Senator McKinnon, myself, Senator Bishop, Senator Stedman, and Senator Hoffman are excused in a way on other state business. Today, we are going to have the Senator Kelly do an opening on Senate Bill 125, opening statements, and Joe Burns, if anything he wants to add. I do have invited testimony today with Jim Dodson from Fedco, and on Tuesday of next week we will introduce our and ask for a motion to move our committee substitute and get into the meat of this bill. I'd also like to recognize our staff here today, Ann Kreckelberg from Senate Records. Good afternoon, ma'am. Good to see you. Ben Manley on our teleconference network. We know the cell phone drill, and Senator Kelly, if you'd like to come up, sir, and give us an overview of Senate Bill 125. It's floor is yours, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Pete Kelly. I represent Senate District A, which covers the city of Fairbanks, Fort Wainwright, and most of Badger Road. Mr. Chairman, today I'd just like to thank you for hearing SB 125. It would extend the allowable time for the ADA organization to issue bonds for the Interior Energy Project by 5 years to June 30th, 2023. We're up against a sunset date, and this is nothing more than an extension. Mr. Chairman, as you're aware, the Interior suffers from the most volatile cost of energy of any community on the rail belt, and most Interior residents rely on heating oil for their homes and businesses, which is subject to dramatic fluctuations. Furthermore, when the price of heating oil is high and it's cold outside, many residents augment their heating with wood, but due to climate and geography of the area, wood burning at low temperatures contributes to problematic air quality issues for the Interior and specifically Fairbanks North Pole. Both of them are part of the PM2.5 non-attainment area, and this has led to federal environmental regulations that have placed restrictions on the selling of homes with non-compliant stoves and regulation of wood sellers as well. It is due to these issues, the volatility of energy prices and air quality, that in 2013 this body passed SB 23, creating the Interior Energy Project, which expanded the availability of clean and affordable natural gas for Interior Alaska. The goal of the IEP is to bring natural gas to the interior at the lowest price possible to as many interior residents and businesses as possible and as quickly as possible. I said earlier it will expand the availability of natural gas because while it is true that some of Fairbanks is served by natural gas due to the limited storage capacity and other infrastructure, we've only been able to lay about 70 miles of pipe. Even then, many of the current customers are commercial in nature and interruptible, and many must and this is due to the lack of storage capacity. The structure made it challenging to create an expanded distribution network for other interior residents and businesses, and for a community that supports two major military installations and many commercial entities. The volatility of energy prices has presented a significant impediment to economic development. Among the provisions of SB 23 were several financing mechanisms. You probably remember them all. They were a $57.5 million capital grant, $125 million SETS grant, and $150 million ADA loan, which is, excuse me, that was $125 million SETS loan, not a SETS grant, and $150 million ADA bonding authority, which is essentially the extension date for that you see before you. The ADA team overseeing the IEP has been diligently deploying the original financial packages to advance the development of a consolidated investment-grade local gas utility. Unfortunately, the authorization for the critical $150 million portion of this, which was the bond, is set to expire June 30th of this year, just as we are now finally able to deploy it. This bonding is necessary for increasing the production capacity of the LNG plant at Point McKenzie and further expansion of the gas distribution network in Fairbanks. I want to emphasize that this bonding authorization can only be used for the purpose of the Interior Energy Project, and that was due to amendments to the financing package that was created in 2015 through the passage of HB 105. The bonding can also only be used for financing investment-grade utility infrastructure due to covenants included in the agreement signed by ADA and the IGU. Just a quick history lesson here. In 2014 and 15, we built out the natural gas distribution system covering nearly all of Fairbanks and Core North Pole. In 2015, ADA purchased the Pentex assets, including the LNG production facility at Point McKenzie, as well as LNG trailers and local distribution infrastructure. Last spring, we passed the PACE legislation that will assist in commercial conversion to natural gas. Last September, ADA secured a gas supply from Hillcore and adopted a qualified plan of development for the rest of the project. This was followed in December with the signing of agreements to consolidate the Fairbanks Natural Gas Company, FNG, and the Interior Gas Utility, IGU, into a single entity to distribute investment-grade utility through the sale of the Pentex assets to IGU. And this month, construction is now underway on large-scale 5.2 million gallon LNG storage facility in South Fairbanks that will support the future customer growth of the combined utility systems. Even with the recent fall in price of heating oil in the past few years, the need for a long-term clean and affordable energy alternative for the interior is needed. And on its present schedule, first expanded gas availability with the potential to transition current interruptible customers to firm service is expected in the late fall of the winter or winter of 2019. So we're on task, on schedule, and many of the agreements and purchases that need to happen to make this a possibility have been executed. The only thing that remains is to extend that extension date and the use and deployment of those bonds from ADA.
Thank you. Senator Kelly, committee members, any questions while we have the Senate President in front of us?
Just a quick question, and that is, are you aware of anybody who is in opposition to this?
You know, I think anytime you start talking about bonds, even though this is an expansion of or extension date of a bill that we debated quite a bit, I mean, this is this has been vetted many times. I think it's prudent to look at our current situation. We have the chairman of finance in front of us, and I'm sure she's going to want to look at it when it gets up to her committee. The answer is not really. I haven't seen a lot.
And just to clarify, I didn't mean it within the building. I meant, within your community or the state.
That's an interesting question. Yeah, there are people that say, oh, we don't need that. And there are people who are a long way out from Fairbanks who want to have it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I really like the way this has evolved over time. And that is that we have to take care of these core areas, get them set up with infrastructure through a utility. And then as economics allow, you can expand to the next one, the next one, the next one. So some of the people who are anticipating that they would get gas a lot earlier, just the physical constraints of laying pipe and having the proper storage and delivery and gas agreements and all those kinds of things, it's going to take a while to get out there. But they will benefit from having gas in North Pole and Fairbanks anyway because of prices. Plus, many of the companies that have looked at investing in Fairbanks, one of the requirements is we're not coming unless you have natural gas. And it can't be interruptible, and so this will take care of it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Any other questions? Oh, Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I can have these questions answered later if it's not readily available. I'm wondering about the cost of the gas to consumers and if we have a price that is anticipated yet. And then secondly, on line 8, on page 1 of the bill is only one page, but it says the authority, and I just for my clarity, that's IEP that we're talking about as far as the authority.
The authority is probably IGU, isn't it?
For the record, this is Joe Burns from Senator Pete Kelly's office. Within this section of the bill, I believe the authority refers to ADA, and I'm getting the heads up from Gene Terrio with ADA. So, yes, it refers to ADA as the authority. As to the cost, the projected cost of gas, it is not included in your packet, but from the quarterly report to the Alaska legislature that was issued on January 5th of 2018. The planned average customer rates are listed as $20.20 per MCF.
I think this is envisioned at City Gate somewhere around 15. With the conversion, we'll take him up to 20.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Senator McKinnon, there was a company who I believe they're in Houston, and they are they're trying to get into the mix on this, and they have talked about some prices that maybe are a little bit lower, but they're at the absolute beginning of their project that they want. They're trying to attract a liquefaction plant, I think, to their community, and then they want to sell out of there. And there is some talk about a lower price, but I don't think it is much lower. And as I said, they are in their infancy right now, so I don't know that we can depend on that price later on.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Kelly. Thanks for those opening remarks. Joe, appreciate it. Gene, Mr. Terrio, would you come up just for a minute and maybe just expound a little bit further on Senator McKinnon's question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Burns was correct in clarifying that the reference to the authority is ADA. Mm-hmm. And then with regards to the question on the price, under the requirements of House Bill 105, which was passed in 2015, the ADA board had an obligation to certify what we started referring to as a House Bill 105 plan. So that was done in September after we had secured a source of gas. What that shows in a chart that appears in that plan is that, again, Mr. Burns was correct that initially, the price is $20.10. That's the current price, basically, because we have a limitation. We are not able to hook up more customers. However, once we have the infrastructure in place and can start to serve more customers, spreading fixed costs over more users, then those costs come down. And so by the time we get out to, let me just find the right line here, 2020, the price goes from $20.10 down to $17.31. When we get out to 2023, it's down to $15.11 per MCF. Currently, fuel oil price, I believe somebody told me they just got fuel oil delivered within the last week. It was $2.40. And if you convert that to natural gas, that's about $18. So you can see as we are able to start serving more customers, it is anticipated that we will beat the current fuel oil price. And the target at the time that the financing package was put in place was to try and deliver to a residential customer at $15 per MCF, which is equivalent to $2 fuel oil. Again, right now, fuel oil is about $2.40 delivered.
Thank you. And I'll... I'll have Senator Kelly's office provide us, my office, with a packet for the committee members next week to show the scale that you're making reference to. Thank you. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Terrio, do we know, can you tell me the source of gas, or is that confidential?
No, it's Hillcorp. At the time that we certified the plan, we had to announce who the provider was.
So is that Hillcorp then in the Cook Inlet, and we're trucking or going along the train line to transport the fuel to the Fairbanks area?
Yes, it's off of Hillcorp production in Cook Inlet. It's then liquefied at the plant, existing plant, in the Point McKenzie area, and currently is trucked up. We do continue to work with the Alaska Railroad to see how we can potentially squeeze out handling costs so that ultimately, as our volume goes up and lends itself more to bulk shipment via rail, that could be a potential.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. How long is that contract with Hillcorp?
The contract is for 3 years, and it does have provisions for extensions. As we went out and looked for, because we were in negotiations with IGU to consolidate the two utilities, they actually asked the ADA board to consider a contract with a shorter duration, which would allow them flexibility to look for a potential supply sooner rather than later that might be at a more advantageous cost.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And do you have any anchor tenants that are going to come online right away for the gas at the $20 price point? Do you have someone waiting that will accept fuel?
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Chairman, that right now my temporary office in Fairbanks, since ADA owns FNG, the Pentex assets, is at FNG. I sit right outside the front counter there, and I've been surprised at the number of individuals that have come to the utility and indicated a desire to have gas. Even the month that the ADA board took the step of adjusting rates up by 3%, we had a large commercial user that came into the counter. And so as he was getting ready to leave, I actually just engaged him in conversation and said, I was surprised we had just announced a rate increase, but here he was saying that, you know, when could he get supply. He was actually the representative for the Bentley Mall, a large commercial establishment in Fairbanks, and indicated that they were in the process of doing some renovations on one of their satellite buildings. They were going to make that a dual fuel capability immediately because we cannot serve them right now, but they wanted to know how soon they can switch over. And so when I asked him about the price, he said that his maintenance person told him that it was just a no-brainer, that the maintenance on the equipment that's fired with natural gas, the increased efficiency when it's fired with gas, they wanted to switch over. Plus, their out-of-state owner is very interested in getting rid of any kind of buried fuel tanks on the property. So not only are they interested in switching over the satellite building as soon as possible, but they're also interested in switching over the main mall building, and that was even at the current price of $20. If we're able to serve more commercial customers like that, it's a volume enterprise. The higher the volume, the lower the per unit price.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you been in contact with the I know that military is, let me back up, military is very important to the interior, specifically the Fairbank region as well as North Pole. Have you contacted the military? They have a huge coal-fired plant up there, and as they look to lower costs to operate equipment in the Fairbanks area, are they a potential tenant, or are they satisfied with the coal-fired plant that they have there?
Mr. Chairman, they are interested. They've been watching this project to see what the delivered price would be. I don't know, since most of the space heating on the base is actually done through distribution of hot water and steam, so it's actually, you know, combined plant with their power generation. And we can't hope to compete against the price of coal as far as price per BTU. However, they do have some housing that is currently across the river, so it's not hooked up to that distributed heat loop, and they are very interested in the heating with natural gas there, hooking up. and I think they would be interested in other some other facilities on the base, certainly when it's cost competitive. The past chairman of the IGU board actually used to be the facilities manager for all of Fort Wainwright, so he's very tied in there to what the potential may be. In addition, about a year and a half ago, Fort Greeley Department of Defense put out an RFP just expressing interest in who could potentially serve Fort Greeley with natural gas. And at that time, I know that FNG did respond to let them know that we were working on this project. At that time, we couldn't give them a target price delivered. But now that we start to really deploy the funds and start to build infrastructure, we're able to firm up a potential price for them. And having that additional volume potentially be served from the Cook Inlet would help. Again, it's a volume enterprise. The larger the volume, the lower the per unit price.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you tell me that storage was to become an issue, and did the state back another project for storage for this project?
Storage is a critical component right now. That really is the limiting factor in Fairbanks. The RCA, and unless we can pledge that certainly for a firm customer, that we can serve them in the dead of winter if there's an interruption in supply, if we can't pledge to do that and meet that pledge, that we cannot sign up another customer. So that really is the most immediate bottleneck in the system. As Senator Kelly indicated, we have pulled the trigger on sizing up storage. Once that is in place, which will be the middle of the summer 2019, we actually will be able to get more production out of our current limited LNG production, because right now, if we run it full tilt in the middle of summer, we don't have the space to actually bunker the fuel. So it's only the FNG expansion of storage in Fairbanks. That's the only expansion of storage that I'm aware of.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well, just before you go, I just got a comment. And would it be safe to say it's hard to go out and sell a product when you don't have it? And when you get the product and the people see that you got a product, then you can go out and I think there would be a lot more interest. I mean, not that there's not a lot of interest now, but now you can really go out and make the hard commitments, right? Because storage has been a problem. I know we're breaking ground right now on some doing the civil work right now for next summer, so for storage tanks.
That's right, Mr. Chairman. This, unfortunately, the project has taken longer to start moving forward. The negotiations for the consolidation of the utilities took longer than was anticipated. It was you know, hotly negotiated from both sides. Once we got that done, though, because it was determined that unless you could aggregate the potential consumers in the interior, yes, it's the second largest metropolitan area, separated metropolitan area, but the overall energy demand is rather limited. And so being able to combine those two was really critical. And as Senator Kelly indicated, we finally signed contractual documents to do that in December. We're now on track to paper that deal and get to close by the end of May. And so people are going to start to see and hear about the sizing up of the storage and, you know, potential bidding for an expansion of the plant. I can tell you at our last board meeting, former Senator Wilkin indicated that he had been contacted by a gentleman that wants to build a house next year. He wants to put the service line into his house, even though gas won't be available probably to that residential customer until the summer of 2020. But he's ready to go.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? If not, we have invited testimony today only. And Mr. Dodson, would you come forward, sir, and put your name on the record, please? And the floor would be yours.
So Senator Bishop, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Jim Dodson. I'm president of Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, and I appreciate you bringing up the issue of Senate Bill 125. I, too, would like to speak in favor of the extension of the ADA bonds to support the Interior Energy Project. The Interior Energy Project was actually started within my organization several years ago by a committee we supported that we named Energy for All Alaska. It is our firm belief that energy is one of the key, affordable energy is one of the key components to the lack of diversification of Alaska's economy, and necessary if we are going to change the economic mix that we are suffering under today. Interestingly enough, the goals of the Interior Energy Project, which are bring affordable energy to as many people as possible as soon as possible at the $15 an MCF target, was a target that we established. And you've talked about the energy today being $20 today. $20 today, by the way, after ADA purchased FNG, is lower than their price when they were operating as FNG. So, you know, while the customers are paying right now the equivalent amount maybe of diesel fuel, it's just a few years ago that Fairbanks was suffering under a $4 diesel fuel cost. Our average homeowner in Fairbanks uses about 1,000 gallons a year to heat their home. So you can see a $4,000 bill out of every homeowner's pocket was devastating to the community. We estimated the cost of home heating was taking about $600 million a year out of our economy, and it needed to be corrected. It needs to be corrected today. Keeping this project on track and moving forward is absolutely essential. As we thought of this project a number of years ago and thought of the, you know, and established the goals, it's kind of interesting because you think of a project, okay, well, we would like to have $15 an MCF energy. But, of course, you don't get to $15 an MCF energy starting at the front of the project. You've got to get to the back of the project where you have the 10,000 customers. Today, the FNG lines are servicing about 900 customers. Others before me have talked about, you know, increasing the distribution through storage. You know, obviously, if FNG can transport natural gas to Fairbanks 12 months a year rather than just a few months a year during our consumption time, that they can add more customers. But from the 900, that would give us an additional 400 or 500. So today, with the help of ADA and the funding for the Interior Energy Project, we have lines available in front of homes as soon as we get gas, close to 6,000 to 7,000. That's a big deal. Bringing these bonds in place are going to allow for the expansion of the LNG plant and the expansion of the distribution lines, further adding to the 7,000 distribution. So, again, I ask for your support and encourage you to, you know, get behind Senate Bill 125. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Members of the committee, any questions for Mr. Dodson? Thank you, Jim. Thank you for taking wearing two hats today here while you're in Juneau. I do have one more invited testimony online if he wants to testify, and that is Jomo Stewart in Fairbanks, the general manager for the IGU. Jomo, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Would you like to make any comments here today?
Only one, sir, if I may. Respectfully to the chair, again, this is Jomo Stewart, general manager with the Interior Gas Utility. Measures... Kelly, Terrio, and Dawson have actually done an excellent job of characterizing the issue, and so I simply wanted to say thank you to the sponsor and to the committee for hearing the bill. Yes, making a keeping whole the funding package is necessary and will be very helpful to keeping the project moving forward. So we really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. I appreciate your comments. And okay, so that's it for testimony today. It was invited only. I'm looking at my committee members. And if there's no further action from my committee members today, it's our intention, my intention, to let this bill set over the weekend. We've got two dynamic senators that are out right now, and we'll let them all come back and introduce a committee substitute next week and on Tuesday. So with that being said, no further business. We're going to adjourn at 4:07 p.m.